It's very good to be with you and a privilege to be able to share with you today God's Word. I want to begin this morning by reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, from verses 2 to 11. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Friends, this morning we want to reflect on a topic, on a subject, which is a very sensitive and a very painful one. How Jesus accompanies those who are abused. And so I want to be sensitive in what I say because I want to honor the fact that some of you may have experienced this in your life. But most of all, I want us to see how the Lord Jesus accompanies or walks with us in this deep pain. And the second thing I want to do is to say this morning that abuse comes in so many different forms. We hear a lot about physical abuse, gender-based violence, but there's psychological abuse, there is economic abuse, there's verbal abuse, there is even sometimes spiritual abuse. Sometimes abuse can be because of what an individual does, but sometimes we live in a world of tilted structures, and therefore abuse can be part of a system, like, for example, patriarchy. And so with those things in mind, there's just four things I want to bring to your attention and I'd like you to notice in our scripture text today. The first one is that woman is nameless. The second one is, notice how those Pharisees use that woman as bait to try and to trap Jesus. The third one is just notice how Jesus stoops down in his response to what they ask him. And the final thing, just notice the very few words that Jesus speaks. And I'd like this morning to unpack those because it seems to me those help us to understand how Jesus accompanies those who have been in one way or another violated. Notice how that woman is nameless. She is not given any identity because the situation she finds herself in is one in which her dignity has been stripped. Her personhood has been taken away from her. We also hear that Jesus is in the temple. And so it's almost as if the sacred has been violated, not just the place, but a person made in the image and likeness of God has been violated. We read in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, verses 27, how each of us is made in the image and the likeness of God. And the place where this woman finds herself is a place where that image of God has been stripped from her. She has lost her personhood. And that breaks God's heart. That, in a way, wounds God just as deeply as it wounds the person who is abused. Because the Lord wants each of us to know that we are His beloved sons and daughters. And therefore, when anything removes that belovedness from us, it is not only we who are stripped, but in a way, there is a deep break in God's heart as well. And so I just want us to notice how when someone finds themselves in such a situation, it is not just them that is stripped of who they are, but in a way, God is affected because we image God. The second thing is, we see how that woman is trapped in a way by those Pharisees, used so that they can get at Jesus. You know, we don't know really the background to this text. We can assume a number of things. We don't know if they trapped her on purpose, if they coerced her to be there so that they could use that situation to get at Jesus, if she was set up. We don't know perhaps if she herself was abusing and struggling with her own sexuality and therefore, in a way, found herself in that situation. We do know that the Pharisees and the scribes intended to use her to try and get at Jesus, to trap him so that they had something to hold against him. We talk sometimes in the spiritual life of disordered attachments, things that we hold on to that do not enable us to live freely as the children of God. This woman may have had a disordered attachment when it came to her sexuality, but we see very clearly how the scribes and the Pharisees have a disordered attachment when it comes to control and power and wielding it over others where they can. And very often, it is those deep, disordered attachments that also diminish us, those things that we cannot let go of, that in many ways take something from our personhood and our dignity. In the prophet Jeremiah, we are told that your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. And I want you to notice how, just as that woman is wounded in the scene in John's gospel, Jesus, it seems, knows that there's a deeper wounding there too of those Pharisees and scribes that bring that woman to him. You know, very often in our lives, our woundedness can lead us to become wounded healers. But sometimes our woundedness can lead us to become wounded wounders. If we don't deal with the pain and the struggle and the hurts of our own lives, if we are not willing to acknowledge perhaps those disordered attachments that we hang on to that don't allow us to live freely. And Jesus has a deep sense of this. He knows that it's really not about the law and Moses that they are after and trying to make sure that he knows what the law is. But Jesus knows that there's something a little bit more sinister going on here. And so too in our own lives, very often, you know, if we don't process our own woundedness, we can, even perhaps subconsciously, hold on to things that lead us to wound others, that lead us not to freedom, but rather to a greater entrapment. And so Jesus always is trying to help us to move into that space of becoming wounded healers rather than wounded wounders. And that's what he does with this woman. At the end of the story, we hear how Jesus sends her away, offering her forgiveness, offering her a new life, but most especially, offering her the ability to go herself and to be a wounded healer for others. And so there's an invitation for us not to run away from the woundedness of our lives, but rather to be willing to sit with it, not so that it will go away, but rather because when we sit with our own woundedness, we do somehow grow and develop. We go through that same dynamic of Jesus, of death to a resurrection, where it doesn't take away what has happened to us, but it helps us to become wounded healers for others. The third point I'd like to reflect on is that image of Jesus who simply stoops down when that question is asked to him, when that woman is brought before him. Isn't that a wonderful reminder to us of what Paul says in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, where he tells us Jesus empties himself and enters into our human condition. A wonderful picture of Jesus not taking center stage when they bring this woman before him, but rather Jesus simply lowering himself, stooping down as she stands there. Notice too how Jesus creates a space for reflection. There's silence at that moment as she stands there before the Lord that stoops down in front of her. Almost a way of honoring her as he stoops down. Those scribes and Pharisees and the crowd that have gathered there, they start to go away one by one in that moment that Jesus creates. And the whole picture changes. The whole picture changes. Suddenly, those with power are powerless before this woman who stands at the center of the picture. And Jesus, who is stooped down. And from someone who right at the beginning is stripped of her personhood, is stripped of her dignity, now that personhood and that dignity is restored as the Lord himself is stooped down before her. In Hebrew, we have a word, hesed. And hesed is kind of used to talk to us about compassion, but it's not the kind of compassion in a way that we speak about when we say have compassion. It's a compassion and a kind of a mercy. And it seems to suggest something like, I see you. I see your situation. And the pain that I see you in is a pain that I feel within myself. Your pain is my pain. And it seems that the Lord stooped down before this woman is saying, I see you. I see your pain. And somehow your pain is also my pain. And so in this moment of the Lord emptying himself, of him being stooped down, we also see the dynamic of his own passion and his own death and his resurrection. It's in that moment that this woman starts to enter into a space of resurrection. And that's what the Lord does for us, friends. When we find ourselves at our lowest, when we find ourselves hurt by life, when we find ourselves perhaps abused in any way, the Lord stoops down, he empties himself so that he can enter into solidarity with us, so that he can suffer with us. He doesn't abandon us. Our God doesn't abandon us, but our God suffers with us, journeys with us. And the fourth and final thing I want to reflect on are Jesus' words. Notice in that text how the actions of Jesus, how the physical movement in the text take much more than the words that Jesus speaks. In fact, Jesus speaks very few words in that text. But notice something more. Notice that the words that Jesus speaks are always words of invitation, are always words of invitation. We don't know the situation of that woman, but notice the words that Jesus speaks to her are words of freedom. Has no one condemned you? No, sir, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Go and live free from sin. The freedom that Jesus offers her there, it's remarkable. And it's the same freedom that Jesus offers us. The invitation from Jesus is always an invitation to let go of those disordered affections, perhaps. It's always to let go of those things that make us less than what we should be, so that we can live in freedom. We're invited always to grow in freedom as the children of God. But notice something else. Notice too the invitation to those who bring that woman and to the crowd. He says, let the first one of you who hasn't sinned throw the first stone. Let the one who hasn't sinned throw the first stone. And we are told how they go away one by one. And there's an invitation from the Lord to them too, to move from living a life of judgment of others, of beating people with the law, to a new way of living so that they can help others to freedom. And so just as Jesus invites her to freedom, he's inviting too those who find themselves entrapped in their woundedness, in perhaps their desire for power, in their desire to control others. He's inviting them away from a life of condemnation to a life free from judgment. And so a new way of living is offered to both the woman and also those who accuse her. And then, not just a new way of living, but a new life is extended to everybody in that scenario. Everybody in that text is invited to new life. And we too are, along with those people in the text, invited to new life. We're invited as well to move perhaps from those things which bind us, whatever that may be, our attitudes, the pains and the hurts of the past, anything, to a new way of life where we experience that same freedom. And so I think this text provides us with a wonderful picture of how the Lord accompanies, how the Lord restores what is lost, the dignity and the personhood that is lost, he restores. The attachments that those who bring that woman to Jesus, they're invited as well to something new and to freedom. And we're reminded of how our God is a God that accompanies us and walks with us every step of the way. And so I'm inviting you to take a look at your own life, and maybe you have been the victim of abuse. Maybe you feel within yourself that you may have even inflicted some sort of abuse on others. I'm inviting you today to seek the same freedom, the new way of living, and the new life that the Lord Jesus offers if we go to Him with all of us, our whole selves, and allow Him to simply accompany us. That's the invitation, and that's also our challenge. Let's pray. Lord God, we give You thanks that You sent Your Son Jesus to live amongst us. Not someone who is far, but someone who sits next to each one of us, who is there with us when we rejoice, but is also there when we are feeling the depths of the wounds of our own humanity. And today, we ask You to help us through the power of the Spirit to feel His closeness to us. We ask You to help us to hear His invitation to freedom, to a new way of living, but most of all, to a new life. We give You thanks for Jesus, who shows us how You, our God, love us and care for us and always invite us to be the people You know that we can be. We make this prayer, as we do all our prayers, in the precious name of Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
It has been so good to be with you again today. If you have a pastoral need after listening to this sermon or joining this experience, please contact us. You can send an email to gebedsversoeke@mosaic.com, or you can phone our pastoral line. We have a team that would love to pray with you, to be there with you and support you with whatever you are facing right now. I'm also reminding you of our Conversations event on the 13th of August here in person at Mosaic. So if you are in the area, please come and join us. Register for that on our website. Russell is one of our speakers at the event, and he's bringing along a conversation partner of modern spirituality, Henry Nouwen. So he will be speaking about the practices and life of Henry Nouwen, and what disciplines he had that helped him, ushered him into wholeness, healing in very difficult circumstances that he had to face. One of our other speakers, Dan Horan, is also with us in person at Mosaic. But the week before Conversations, he will be presenting and facilitating a retreat at Mosaic's retreat space, Origins. And you are welcome to register for that. More information is available on our website, and the retreat will also be focused around the practices life of Thomas Merton and invitations that come to our own life. If you need any more information about some of the other speakers and themes that we will be touching on, please go to our website, click on the Conversations link, and there you will find all the information that you need. We're going to close our time of worship together by worshiping God with our finances, what He has given us. So there's an opportunity to make a financial contribution, and we come with hearts grateful, thankful, for what God has given us, provided to us, and saying, Lord, here, take and receive it and use it in your kingdom. We long to experience your kingdom here and now. The codes will be on the screen, and you're also welcome to go to our website. All our digital platforms for giving will be listed there as well. Have a wonderful, blessed week.